Mini episode 129 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at OutsideTheBoxScoreBlog.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the six Lounge mini-episodes that comprise the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. I am joined by some of our finest FDH Lounge dignitaries for this occasion. The Pantheon is our celebration of the best of the best from all walks of life. All previous FDH Lounge Pantheon inductees can be found on our homepage at thefdhlounge.com. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcasts as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the sixth class of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. And here we are. We're back. It is part two of the sports here in the Pantheon, the sixth edition of the Pantheon, and now we're starting this one off with a full house. I, Rick Morris, joined by, going around the table here, Bob Glassman, Tim Faust, Anthony Patrone, Matt Patrone, and Mr. Flatstick, Tom Denk. We're blowing through the next two categories here and taking these together kind of thematically because combined, I would say, as the person administering everything here for the Pantheon, the greatest combined headache for me personally in the history of the Lounge, A, from the outcome of the first one, and B, from just trying to get the correct criteria across for the second one here. So on the first one, best sports blog of all time. This is actually a spinoff, Tim. This is one where we did best sports website. I believe ESPN.com won that at Pantheon 5. You were participating in Pantheon 5 and suggested this one. You thought that, I guess, that the new media should have its own niche in this thing, correct?
Of course. Okay. Of course. Yeah, no one goes to websites anymore, right?
Yeah.
They just
it's all about the blogs.
Yeah, it is.
So we did this. So I'm actually going to break format on this one and get the winner out of the way first instead of building to the winner because this is something that, from a perspective of somebody also in charge of all of our marketing and the public face of this whole thing, and quite frankly, a little bit of a black eye for FDH because the FDHLounge.blogspot.com, the FDH Lounge multimedia magazine, getting seven votes and winning this thing. So it is going to look real douchey, I'm not going to lie, when I go to put that up on the website that we won the best sports blog of all time. So I have to come up with some kind of asterisk here, I suppose, for this thing. I appreciate that people did this. And I made the mistake. I was talking to one of our voters, John Adams, about this. I'm like, okay, well, if enough of you guys want to treat this like a joke. It's not a joke, Rick. I mean it out of respect. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry, Johnny. I didn't mean to accuse anybody of treating it like a joke. So I don't want to look at it that way. I appreciate that everybody that's involved has pride in what we're doing, but it's just a thing where, there's part of me that wishes I could put anybody else's name up here that's unassociated with the thing, but that's not how it rolls. I don't throw out any votes. I don't substitute my own judgment. The thing that's kind of funny, if you continue along in the same vein, there were two votes for the FantasyDraftHelp.com blog, so there were others that had the same thought out of our pool of 30 voters here and went in the same way, albeit for a different entity. So the Lounge wins this thing. Fantasy Draft Help has two votes for Grantland, two votes for Deadspin. Good votes there in those ones. And the ones that got one vote apiece, I thought it was kind of interesting also. Just going down the list, I voted for Awful Announcing. There was a vote for MLBTradeRumors.com. The one that I want to rant about a little bit, I teased this before, Tim, when we were recording a previous one. Diatribe. One vote for Diatribe, which I think is almost the manifestation of pure evil. Some self-righteous a-hole who has set himself up as King Indians fan here. All you other people that don't have your snouts up Larry Dolan's ass aren't real Tribe fans. A real evil, and I use that word advisedly, evil institution. Do you think I'm overstating it in any way,
well,
Tim?
Well, I'm going to have to go to that because, to be honest, I haven't looked at that ball.
See what you think.
So I will have to go to that. I'll have to get back to you on that one. Another, you know, Cleveland-based one that I really do like is Waiting for Next Year.
That's a good one.
Have you guys been to that one? Yeah, so that one I think has a very objective view, you know, of a but also objective from the perspective of, you know, not a homer.
Yeah.
But Cleveland focused as the, hey, I've lived and breathed and we won a championship.
That's a pretty good one. There's actually an associate of Bob's and mine, Jacob Rosen, that's written for that one a little bit.
That's
he's a good writer.
That's almost kind of the same deal as what like Cleveland Frowns is trying to do, that clevelandfrowns.com. That's almost the same
thing. Yeah, but that's another one that I don't like, because that guy's just one of these Fangini a-holes out there. They never should have fired him. Shut up. You don't know anything about football. You know, but one vote for Jason Stark on ESPN.com. That was your vote, Tim.
Yep, I enjoy that one.
That's a good one. One vote for Sports Illustrated's Hot Clicks. That's a really good one also. Tom, you voted for the 1983 Fleer Project. That's a good site also.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You know, I scour all the sports blogs constantly. Mm-hmm. The ones that you've mentioned, you know, Jimmy Trana is really great at Hot Clicks. One thing I like about him is he's really accessible. Like, he'll tweet back or email back.
Yep.
I've chatted with him a few times. And some of the other ones, Deadspin's great for big pieces. You know, they'll do Sunshine Act, Information Act requests. They got a lot of the Petrino stuff. They do big piece work. You know, they kind of went off the deep end with, like, their commenting and stuff like that. So I as a whole forum, I think, like, they've lost a little bit on the blog side because it's more of a closed circuit. The Big Lead was on there. Before Jason McIntyre went crazy trying to
get the Big Lead did get
files.
A vote also, yeah.
You know, I like that site. That's got the best commenter section anywhere by far.
Mm-hmm.
But the writers have kind of gotten little egomaniacs, and they've also just been purchased by Gannett, which I think is going to ruin the site. I voted for 83 Fleer Project, Scott Mortensen. And here's my vote. I know what this gentleman's trying to do is get every 1983 Fleer baseball card signed by that player.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it as a blog project. And so every time he gets one, he'll put the story of how he got the autograph.
I hope he's already got Bo Diaz.
He does have Bo Diaz. Okay. And he has Bo Diaz on an all-star card where there's two of them, too. There's a lot of dead players. There's over 40-some people dead from 1983 already. And he's gotten a lot of them. But I just thought, due to the sheer magnitude of what he's done as a project, it just kind of encapsulates what fans like to do.
Yeah.
And he's kind of open about how he, you know, he gives a little story and he takes feedback. I just think just because his accomplishment is so far above anything else on, like, the sports media aspect, I cast my vote for him. I've talked with him a number of times, and the scale of his project is, for instance, like, all the like, there's checklists. So for every team had a checklist, he got every manager to sign every checklist, and there's a lot of the managers that are dying off.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chuck Tanner just died recently,
yeah,
and he'd been in a state where he couldn't autograph for a number of years. So, like, that was one that he couldn't get. But there was, when you look at all the deceased players that he actually got, with Bowie Kuhn, he got to sign the All-Star checklist and things to that effect. It's a really amazing project, and some of the information he has on there on acquiring. And there's some players that have gone off the deep end, who have gone on the ground, died, and then authenticating them. Because there were some people out there that knew he was looking for 83s that were signed. So he has to go and have the autographs validated for some of the ones that he's getting now. It's a tremendous project. And anybody that's a real fan of baseball, be advised, you're going to lose chunks of your days, weeks, months, going back and looking at all these autographs. They're all on the cards.
That is amazing. 40 players are dead. A team and a half from 83. That's shocking.
It could be, if you include the managers, it could be 60-ish easily. So,
who knew that? I mean, that's a mortality rate that would make Vince McMahon blush. Wow.
I think he's over – he's in the 80s now in terms of signage. So it's really getting down to the guys that have returned to Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
But he just got Miguel DeLaNay from the Dominican. So, I mean, it's amazing. Al Williams was in Panama. I mean, it's just some of these stories that he's getting are just – truly amazing.
I got an image of him chasing down some old barefoot guy in a hut, you know, with a Sharpie. You know, hey, can you sign this thing? I mean, that's kind of a That's a funny mental image. Yeah, the big lead, which you mentioned, that one's on here also. And one vote for Paul Lucas Unit Watch on ESPN.com. I'm not as familiar with that one personally, but quality representation here on a lot of the ones that people voted for. I thought it was really good. Anybody got any other thoughts here on the sports blogs, the ones that made it and didn't? Sports by Brooks didn't make it. A little bit surprised on that one.
I'll chime in just because I spend so much time on the blogs.
I do too, yeah.
What you're seeing is a lot of them are getting bought up by larger media groups.
Right.
Like, you know, Gawker, for instance, has Deadspin. Gannett just purchased the big
SB Nation. Blog you want.
So some of the, like, Wild West that really made some of the sports blogging take off, and I'm not for Ambush Media or Gotcha Media or, you know, taking a picture of a guy surreptitiously. But just some of the original writing is kind of getting dumbed down.
Yeah, but the Ben Roethlisberger T-shirt, drink like a champion today as he's getting wasted in a bar, you got to take your hat off to the Ambush pictures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're out in public, you know, you're fair game. But I think what we're seeing is there's going to be a whole other wave of them that are going to come on and unseat all of the really popular ones now because, you know, it's business, and business changes, a writer's objective, you know, in the media. So it'll be interesting to see. If we did this 5 years from now, I bet you none of those will be talked about.
That's interesting. Yeah, we could have a pretty good turnover in that. Grantland didn't even exist a while back, a year or two ago, and it's come up. And, you know, for something that's a corporate entity, I think it's done a real good job under Bill Simmons' leadership. So, the winner ends up being the FDH Lounge, raised the Dundee Award and induct the Lounge into the Pantheon here for Best Sports Blog. Again, my thoughts on that already covered at the outset. The next one here that gave me probably the first of, I haven't inspected my scalp, but I probably do now have gray hairs after these two categories combined. Best college and pro coach in football or hoops. And the thing is, the more I would try to explain this to people, the fuzzier it still seemed to get. I would send out emails to people that I hadn't sent ballots yet to. Okay, I see that there's been some confusion in how it was stated already. So I'm going to try and I'm going to talk real slow here in this email. And it still was unclear. So I got to take the blame for that. Somehow or another, I was not communicating to people on this. But a college and pro coach. And this is one where I'm going to second guess myself on instituting this as a category, which I don't often do, because it led to a really kind of shrunken field of candidates. It wasn't really a wide open kind of a one. Sometimes you shoot and you miss, and I think I probably did in this one, but it's going to make for an interesting discussion. And oh, by the way, guys, we have a tie. We're going to break a tie sitting here live before the end of this segment. But here's the guys first who got only one vote. And again, keeping in mind that, you know, some of these guys didn't qualify, but I still ended up having votes from folks that didn't qualify. One vote for Greg Popovich, which he's having a good year, but hey, the guy never coached college, so. One half vote for Vince Lombardi. I say that because there was 1.5 votes for Newt Rockne. So there was, incidentally, not to name names, but I will. My brother and my sister-in-law, who are members of the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, both of whom went to Notre Dame, my sister-in-law Kendra Morris cast a half vote for Newt Rockne along with her Vince Lombardi vote, my brother casting a full vote for Newt Rockne. Again, dude never coached in the NFL, so I don't know what they were thinking. One vote for Rick Pitino from good friend, a longtime voter, John Adams. I'm sorry, Tom, that Johnny's not here yet. He's showing up today. I'm sorry he wasn't here to have to defend that one. And then we go to the Patron brothers with a vote apiece for Anthony voting for Byron Scott and Matt voting for Caleb Porter.
Caleb Porter, okay. Akron U's coach.
But okay.
I just got to say that when I saw that, I just thought coach, and hey, Byron Scott did a lot with a very little all season, so okay. You got to give it to the coaching on that one. But as I told everybody prior, I just want to change my vote. I'm going to go with Butch Davis.
That might force me to come across the table at you. Remembering his tenure.
He does qualify, though, right?
He does qualify.
He wasn't a head NFL coach.
He does qualify. Right? He does qualify.
Yes. He was a head coach for both.
Was a head, he was a head in both.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Now that we've moved past the one vote and the half votes, and we start getting into the ones with repeat votes, the next two on here don't necessarily fit the classic profile of what you would think, but they do qualify. At the very least, they do qualify. There were two votes for Paul Brown, one from a gentleman who's sitting here, Bob Glassman. And again, he does qualify, Bob. I mean, he won many championships at the NFL level and had good success when he was at Ohio State. Really did an excellent job at Ohio State. So he does qualify in this. Doesn't have championships at the college level, but he did a great job there, and he is eligible.
I think it just goes back to trying not always to be centric around Cleveland or Ohio or Ohio State. But in the case of Paul Brown, it was phenomenal. And I was one of the people that you had to go back to a time or two, and I think it took me about a week before I got the category right. But once I did, very happy with the vote for Paul Brown.
Well, I had to go back to people repeatedly, so nobody individually should feel badly about that. I just engendered more confusion every time I opened my mouth, apparently. What's interesting is we talk about coaching trees here, and everybody we've just finished talking about Paul Brown. The next guy in here, everybody talks about the Bill Walsh tree. Well, the Bill Walsh tree is in and of itself an offshoot of the Paul Brown tree. Bill Walsh got 3 votes in this thing. And again, I got to think that's almost entirely off of what he did in the NFL. Nice little run at Stanford. Yes, he qualifies. Unlike Butch Davis, he doesn't qualify as somebody who was mediocre at the college level and completely horrible at the NFL level. I mean, Bill Walsh was a pretty good college coach. He was a Hall of Fame NFL coach. But, yeah, he got 3 votes. Then we go to the tie here, guys. This is the first time we're going to do this today. Larry Brown with 8 votes and Jimmy Johnson with 8 votes. I voted for, and just taking a look here at who's sitting around our elongated tables here, I voted for Jimmy Johnson. You, Tim, you voted for Larry Brown. All right, so you and I are on opposite sides of this, and I don't think anybody else has a dog in this particular hunt. So basically the rules of the game are, first of all, we go to the second ballot, and the only really rule on this is you can't cast a second vote for somebody that you've already voted for. So I cannot, in subsequent rounds, cast another vote for Jimmy Johnson, nor can Tim cast a vote for Larry Brown. In the second round, you can vote for whoever you want to vote for. In the third round, it's okay. If there's still a tie, everybody has to vote for somebody. But if you want to vote for the same guy, you got to abstain. So I frankly don't know which direction I'm going to go in with my second vote, since I can't vote for Jimmy Johnson again. So I'll just kind of stall and kind of throw it around the table here a little bit. Any thoughts on Jimmy Johnson, Larry Brown head-to-head? Tim, whether it be want to be you putting in a thought.
Yeah, let me start with my
whoever.
Opening
okay, yeah,
argument.
Let's make an opening argument for the prosecution.
Yeah. I mean, and again, I was another one who had to go back and forth a couple times with Rick to clarify this. And once I understood the category, for me, Larry Brown is a no-brainer. I actually, even before I was clarified in the category, Larry Brown was on my short list of best coaches of all time. I know he's had a little bit of negative publicity in the last couple years. I think he burns bridges very well when he leaves situations. His last two jobs, I think, are obviously Charlotte, but then the Knicks, I think, was immediately before that.
Yeah.
But every job before that, he took a team. You know, you always talk about coaches and like, okay, what would they have done without that coach? To me, it's not in question that he took that team. He made that team better than what they were before. And he did that for 4 – Detroit, Philadelphia, Indiana, and I believe San Antonio was before that.
Yes.
So he made situations a lot better than they would have been. You know, won a title in Detroit, took a Sixers team to the finals, took an Indiana team to the finals, right?
Right.
I think he took the Indiana team to the finals, if I'm not mistaken. But he made situations better. And obviously the run at Kansas City,
yeah.
You know, in college. So for me, that's why I chose Larry Brown as head and shoulders. And I guess Jimmy Johnson did cross my mind from a football perspective, but I immediately threw him out only because he only had success at one college and in one pro team, and he did not have success.
He had
his other.
Pretty good success at Oklahoma State. I mean, he did that was the stepping stone to getting him the Miami job. I mean, he took a program that wasn't really on the map and. Yeah, it depends
okay.
you know, on
okay.
your standards.
And I guess I mean, that's not as well-renowned.
Okay.
But to your point,
okay.
you know, that's a piece of success.
You know what's weird? I just was thinking about this now for the first time. We're thinking about it's like Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, he did it at both levels, and I wasn't thinking of anybody else. Somebody else did it at both levels, didn't get a vote. Guess who? Anybody know? Hint. Very closely associated with Jimmy Johnson and his tenure.
Oh, well, Barry Switzer.
Yes.
I already
yeah. No that. Votes for. Now, it just shows how little we
regard what he did with Dallas. Clearly that was just the leftovers.
I was really thinking about both of yours, and I had voted for Bill Walsh because I felt in the last 30, 40 years he's the best coach out there. People forget how bad the 49ers have changed the culture. I give a little leeway to football because I think, you know, it's a 22 different starters versus five for the college, or basketball. Basketball's a little more of a players' league. But in this case, going against the two finalists, Jimmy Johnson and Larry Brown. So Jimmy in the Cowboys did an A-plus job. He was a very good coach, but he did an A-plus job as like a player personnel person, acquiring the draft choices, selecting the players. And then at Miami, you know, college football is a lot more recruiting than X's and O's. Well, that's why, you know, like Butch Davis was another, actually, we mentioned him earlier, you know, a great player acquisition person. So my vote out of the two candidates would be Larry Brown. He took the Clippers to the playoffs, and they were a terrible franchise.
Yeah, that alone, that's another situation I forgot.
That's my X factor. And I would vote for Brown out of those two candidates.
All right. I can't vote for Jimmy Johnson again. On the second ballot, I'm going to vote for Paul Brown. I find the reasoning on that persuasive. He didn't win a title at the college level, but he was an elite-level coach there, and he won multiple times at the NFL level. So,
kind of like a similar argument to Bill Walsh, where you were so great at the NFL level and you were good at the college level.
I guess my tiebreaker is
Coast Guard Academy before he went to Ohio State.
Yeah, and with all due respect to Bill Walsh's Stanford tenure, I'll rate Paul Brown's Ohio State tenure above that. I guess that would be my tiebreaker.
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah. That's why you're voting for Paul Brown, but a
similar,
not
yeah.
a Hall of Fame college coach. But,
precisely, yes.
But
yeah,
good at the NFL level.
But, yeah, and, you know, I think he was, you know, I would say he was an elite-level college coach. Bill Walsh may be borderline elite-level college coach, so, yeah, I would give it to Paul Brown. So just in going around the table here, so Bob, what do you think for your second ballot? How are you inclined to go?
I'll stay with Brown, but I'll go for Larry. I think the overriding factor is his love of coaching. When I compare him and Jimmy Johnson, I think Jimmy Johnson left the Cowboys, you know, on a high note, but early, albeit Larry Brown coached around a little bit, but he loved the job of coaching, and if we're looking for the best, I think you got to find somebody with it in his heart.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, apparently his Cowboys tenure motivated by that Seinfeld episode where George was going to leave the room after a high note here. You know, Jimmy Johnson's like, okay, I'm going to do like George Costanza. I just won two Super Bowls. So what do you want to do with yours, Tim? You can abstain on your second ballot, or you can vote for somebody else that's not a part of this thing.
Well,
what are you?
My second ballot, I'm going Larry Brown.
Well, but you can't cast two votes in this thing for the same guy. So you can either abstain or cast it for, like, one of the spoilers or something.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, so once again, I don't understand the rules.
Okay.
Just being confusing, that's all.
Right. Not you, Rick.
So
I will abstain on my second.
Okay. Your guy looks like he's going to take it anyways at this point, frankly.
One comment I do want to make about Jimmy Johnson is isn't it interesting to all of you that Jimmy, after the Dolphins gig, he hasn't done anything else. I mean, he's stuck with his TV Fox gig. And out of anybody, you know, given his age and given his knowledge and given his, you know, how much he's been sought after and how much he's been talked about, I think out of anybody, it's been most interesting to me or most surprising to me that he hasn't taken another job.
Just wait till he's on a respirator, about 92. Randy Lerner will come around and give him $30 million a year to...
You know what's so funny that you say that? Because I have a running joke with one of our fellow lounge dignitaries, Raymond Smalley, Platinum Smalls. It's just become shorthand between us. Gold bullion, a suitcase with $50 million in it. I always say this. Every time the Browns are doing a reset, I always say, if you're Randy Lerner, you got to fly down to South Florida, $50 million in gold bullion in a suitcase. You sit in front of him and make him say no. I always say that. It's like you just, okay, he doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to do it. Okay, will he say that when he's staring at it? If he is, then he's a stronger man than me.
If you could get it to Bob Lamont.
Yeah.
Then he would end up with the Browns.
He would have to be represented by Bob Lamont.
That's a prerequisite, it seems, yes.
I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Larry Brown.
All right.
Simply because... To go into a bad situation and make it extremely better is really what you're looking at for a coach. I mean, you don't want – if you get a guy who's done it on both levels and on either level been an average coach or a good coach, you want a guy who can really bring it in, who can really say, hey, I've done it. I've won it. I've been there. And that's what Larry Brown's got. So I'm going to go with Larry Brown.
All right. That's going to cinch it. What do you think, man?
I was just going to actually say the same thing, because me being more of the music side of this, and I don't know too much sports talk and the blogs and all that, and I don't follow it as much. But from listening to what you guys have said, I've taken the argument with Larry Brown, because he's done it on a numerous occasions to where he's taken the bad thing, like Anthony said, and gone to something better with it, and then went to another one and did it again. Where Jimmy Johnson, he's only done it like once, one team, and then he was done.
I'll put that another way.
Corrected.
Yes, I'll put.
Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong. Well, I'll put that another way. That what you've done is, after listening to everything that's been said here, you've decided that my arguments on Jimmy Johnson are completely unpersuasive. So,
yes, exactly.
Fair enough, Matthew. Fair enough.
So where he was saying earlier that it wasn't you, it's him. No, I think it's you, Rick.
I think that is the consensus of the group here. As we're wrapping up our second segment here today, Sports Part 2, we'll induct into the FDH Lounge Pantheon as we hoist the Dundee Award for Larry Brown on a tiebreaker. Congratulations, Larry Brown.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.